Clearly, everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. I remind members of their obligations under the Councillors' Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any items of business before this committee today. If you have any such interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. Proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that the microphones work in a queuing system. If your microphone is lit red, you have precedence. Flashing green is next in the queue, and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again, as it will lit up red, you will lose your place in the queue. Maybe some members in attendance virtually, and it's been agreed that all members in the chamber are brought in to speak on any issue before any remote delegates. Therefore, if you're attending remotely, please use the chat facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in once within the chamber has spoken. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments that they make at this meeting. Do you have any apologies? Councillor Andrews.
Yeah, Councillor Andrews and Councillor McAfee.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, moving on to Chairperson's remarks. I'd like to put on record the Council's condolence for the family of Warren Marron. Warren was a popular young Cross Maglean man who had recently moved to Australia, an incredible adventure of any person's young life. Sadly, he made his final journey home the weekend to a town still reeling from his loss. We would like to extend our heartfelt sympathies to his mother Jacqueline and the wider Marron family, as well as his friends and neighbours, particularly those involved with his beloved Cross Maglean Rangers. This Council would also like to express sorrow in the passing of Mankin Mannion and his contribution to Irish culture, heritage, history, folklore, and above all, the language. He'll be sadly missed, a truly unique character and a national treasure. I also want to touch upon the disgraceful and cowardly act in which a viable device was left outside the constituency office of Liz Kimmins and Dara Hughes yesterday evening. These actions show a blatant disregard for the safety of the citizens of Newry. Knowing that, as I reflect upon the past month, I'm reminded of the very principles of care and support in the service of others. In particular, I want to acknowledge four remarkable groups: HIPS, Hope and Support, who brought the baton of hope to our council, raising awareness of suicide and its impact on families in our society; Positive Futures, which recently celebrated its 30th anniversary; St. Patrick's Family and Autism Support, for its continuing fight to support and advocate for families with children with autism; and Hugh Muir, whose continuous, tireless support for families and individuals active with addiction across our district. It is organisations like these that remind us of our common humanity, organisations that care for and support children, families and individuals, regardless of background, ethnicity or religion. They represent the best of our community, people who give their time selflessly to stand beside others in times of struggle. Their collective endeavours remind us all that we are deeply connected. Through compassion, understanding, we should and can build stronger and kinder communities. And lastly, I would like to place on record my thanks to Councillor Gareth Sharvin for his many years' service within Newry Moore and Down District Council and the former Down District Council. Gareth is a committed councillor, and I think every member in this chamber will agree that we wish him all the best for the future. Thank you. Moving on, make members aware that we have received an emergency notice of motion from Councillor Hardy. It will require a qualified majority of 80% of the vote, and I will be taking the motion after tonight's stated motions. Thank you. Moving on to item number 3 in the agenda, the action sheet. I'll go through it for accuracy. Pages. One, two, three, and four. Any matters arising? We have a proposer, a seconder. Mr. Murphy? Seconder. Mr. Lee Serger. Moving on to item number 4 on the agenda, minutes of council meeting held on the 1st September 2025. Again, go through them for accuracy. Pages 1, pages 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Any matters arising? Councillor Rowan?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. It's just in relation to page 5 where we had the discussion on the ongoing odour, bad smell coming from the harbour in Warren Point. I'm just wondering, was there any response from the Minister in relation to the request for him to come and meet with us?
Any responses received today will all be on the agenda tonight, so I don't think we've received.
Thanks, Chair. But just again, the staple. Just in the last couple of weeks, myself and a few of my colleagues were out around the immediate area to the harbour, and the actual smell that was coming into people's homes and around that, the estates beside it, is just disgusting. And the Minister has been asked a month ago to respond to this council in relation to coming to meet with us on this issue, and here we are, and still no response. So I'd just like to put on record that it's totally unacceptable.
Thank you, Councillor Rowan. Was there a seconder? To the accuracy of the minutes. Was there? Mr. McAteer and Mr. Devlin. Thank you. Moving on to item number 5 on the agenda. Minutes of the special council meeting held on the 26th of August. Again, we'll go through them for accuracy. Pages 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Any matters arising? Councillor Buzzy?
Thank you. Firstly, just to commend Councillor Finn for setting up the Arts Working Group, and I look forward to taking part on that. I do, however, want to point out an inconsistency.
This is for the special council meeting held on the 26th. Councillor Buzzy?
Item 5 now.
Yep.
It's the ERT I'm speaking on.
That's item number 7 on the agenda, Councillor Bowsey. Any matters arising from the special council meeting held on the 26th of August? Do I have a proposer and a seconder? Proposed, Councillor Hardy. Seconded, Mr. Quinn. Thank you. Okay, moving on to item number 6 on the agenda, which is minutes of the special council meeting held on the 22nd of September 2025. Again, we'll go through for accuracy. Pages 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Any matters arising? No? Have a proposer and a seconder, please. Was there a seconder for the Mr. McAteer?
Proposed.
Seconded. Mr. Murphy. Thank you. Moving on to item number 7, minutes of the Economy, Rate, Generation and Tourism Committee, meeting held on the 8th of September 2025. And again, 1-3 for accuracy. Pages 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and 6. Councillor Bowsey.
Thanks, yeah. Just I was saying, commend Councillor Finn for setting up the working group and look forward to taking part on that. But as I say, I do want to point out an inconsistency from this council once again towards my community. A couple of years ago when I asked for an Ulster Scots working group to be set up, the response from a council official was as follows. At SPNR in October 2022, it was agreed to cut down on the amount of working groups due to the volume of them. So can I ask the management, when did that agreement become null and void?
Sure. My understanding in relation to the Ulster Scots Working Group is it's a matter of being considered under the Equality and Good Relations forum, and indeed is actually an item on the agenda this week in relation to that. And if the committee or the council so decide to establish a working group, that's the decision.
Mr. Taylor?
Sorry, Councillor Bowsey, you got your query.
Councillor Taylor will be on first.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Chair, just in terms, I'm not obviously on the ERP committee, but can I ask, just in terms of the makeup of the group, how will that be defined or established? Certainly, you know, myself, I would have an interest in potentially participating, but just how is that going to be established in terms of the membership of the committee, as when it's set up?
Yeah, the first meeting will be this Wednesday. There's a skeleton membership at this minute in time, and it's for the members of the group to determine expanding that membership across potentially for two other elected members and local groups who are involved in the arts across the district.
Okay, Councillor Blazing.
Just to come back on that, I mean, I'm aware that there's public consultation going through and it's long overdue, but the Arts Working Group didn't require public consultation, didn't require years to get over multiple hurdles, and this has been put through the Council in a matter of weeks. We have the first Arts Working Group meeting next week before it's even ratified in full Council tonight. You know, Irish and Ulster Scots both have legal recognition, yet we're 10 years into this Council and we still don't have an Ulster Scots Working Group. You know, and people might not like this, but Ulster Scots is unique to this district in a way that Irish isn't. East Down, the birthplace of the Ulster Scots, and yet we don't have an Ulster Scots Working Group. You know, how is this council infusing Ulster Scots in its tourism strategy? How is that unique recognition to our district, the birthplace here, how is that infused in our events programme? It's not, and that's why we need an Ulster Scots Working Group ASAP, and it shouldn't take years.
Mr. Hammond?
Yeah, just to kind of go over, I don't associate myself with your, or Sinn Féin won't, with your comments about Irish language, but we've always supported an Ulster Scots Working Group, Callum, and I don't know why it's been, the arts group has gone through quicker, because we were quite supportive, and I know there was Ulster Scots Week there, I think maybe in October, or whatever, I'm really not sure when it was, but they definitely have made strides within the council to try and promote Ulster Scots. And I would very much welcome that at speed to get the Ulster Scots group up and running.
Mr. Bowsey?
Can you clarify my comments? I mean, it's the historical fact. East Down is the birthplace of Ulster Scots. Newer Modern Down is not the birthplace of the Irish language.
Well, if you think I'm getting into a spat in the chamber with you over that, you're not getting it.
Moving on. Item number 8 on the agenda, Minutes of Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee meeting held on the 11th September 2025. Once again, we'll go through for accuracy. Do we have a proposed and seconder for ERT? Proposed, Councillor Lee Serger, seconder?
Definitely.
Councillor Kearns, thank you. Okay, minutes of SPNR, again we'll go through for accuracy, pages 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 and 7. Any matters arising? Mr. Devlin?
Yes, Chair, thank you. It's just more so a comment at page 4 regarding the Castledown Forest Clerk additional resource. I'm not going to get into the, I think, some of it within committee. I suppose it's just to welcome the additional resource to Castledown Forest Park from a gardening perspective. I think it's very clear since the council has took over Castledown Forest Park, there's a real notable difference in the gardens. I know there's a lot of work going on there at present, a big project that we have, but I think it's a really good news story for the council and the gardening team there under Alwyn are doing a superb job. So just a comment, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Devlin. Councillor Hannah.
Thanks, Chair. Just the item on reserves policy. I know it was taken in committee and one thing or another, but we have deep concerns about this, the way it's been pushed through without any detail being put on it whatsoever. I know we have been offered a meeting, so we're having the 13th this day next week, which we're not happy about at all, because we will not support this policy in any shape or form unless we're fully briefed and all the detail is filled in beforehand. And I would caution all councillors to take the same position. So would, at this moment in time, you would never agree to any contract, so you wouldn't shut it be for your home, for buying a car or anything like that, unless you knew exactly what was in it and what was involved in it. So I'm going to make a proposal here that we defer this policy and invite a local government, the local government auditor, to explain the policy and answer questions on the policy. As this minute in time, we do not know anything about it at all. So I'm proposing we defer it. There is no detail on it whatsoever, so I'm proposing we defer it until the details filled in and we get somebody from the local government auditor out to explain the implications there for ourselves.
You were a seconder for your proposal, Councillor Hannah? Councillor Blasey? All right, Councillor Finn?
I have a comment on a different subject if you just want to deal with this.
Can we deal with this comment first?
Okay. I would like to meet you about the policy. I spent a lot of time actually with Mr. Hannan in one Friday afternoon. So if you want to meet, this is a high level, good principled document. I'll certainly spend time in going through this document with you. You're not agreeing to detail. These are very good high level principles of governance. But look, let's meet and we can go through it, just as I did with others that asked for meetings. Now I don't know where you want to meet.
Councillor Teal?
Yeah. Listen, I'll come in after Councillor Hannan.
Josephine, to be quite honest with you, I think it's totally wrong, so it is for you to be asking us to propose something or to accept something here in this committee or this forum, so it is. Without us knowing exactly what we have, you should actually have given that, I believe, in the SBNR meeting, so you should have been in committee or wherever. And at this minute in time, I'm beginning to wonder, have we got a reserves policy at this moment in time?
This is putting a reserves policy in place.
How did we operate without one before?
We have agreed it through council.
It's agreed at three councils? Well, put it this way there, we need to be properly informed. I'm asking you all in here at this moment in time to have it deferred so everybody can be properly briefed on it. Josephine, we have no detail. I read what was given out, so there's no detail in that whatsoever. I think it is simply wrong to enter into any sort of a contract or a policy like that without us all knowing as councillors. There's no way I would get blind into anything in my business, so.
So policies by definition are high level, it's about principles, good governance, statements, you know, about ways we are acting moving forward.
Do you not think we can understand them?
That's only just saying what's in the policy.
We need detail.
That won't be in a policy, but that's I'm happy to meet and go through.
Yeah, but everybody needs to know, not just myself, everybody needs to know this. My proposal still stands, Chair, so I would like it deferred until all candidates are properly briefed.
Councillor Taylor.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, listen, at the SPNR meeting, I was happy to support the principle of a reserves policy, and you know, I think it's important for a good governance point of view that we actually do have that policy in place. I suppose I'm conscious, I think, in any circumstance, we want to make sure that everybody's fully aware about what is being signed up to. And for the sake of a matter of a few weeks at this stage, would there be any issue actually in deferring something like this? If it gives members a bit of comfort and or a bit more information, as you know, Councillor Hannah has outlined, will that have any major implications for us as a council in not actually, processing that decision tonight? We're only really talking, and I'm assuming, Councillor Hannah, you're not looking for an indefinite deferment here. It's really a few weeks to get a full briefing on it, and ultimately then you can get your briefing. If you're not content, ultimately you have a political decision to make at that stage on that, but for the sake of a few weeks, making sure that all members feel that they're fully informed on it, I certainly don't see any issue on a deferment for a few weeks if it gives everybody that bit of comfort and that bit of reassurance that what we're signing up to here is something that every councillor can support. And it is an important part of governance here, and I certainly recognise that, but I think from the point of view, I would certainly want all councillors to be fully comfortable about what we're actually potentially implementing here. So I'm happy to support your, you know, deferment for a matter of weeks. So I don't think it's going to make a major difference in terms of the process and the timeline of things.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Hanlon.
Obviously this has gone through SPNR, and as Chair of SPNR, I did say on the night that I had spent time going through it with officers to make sure that I was content as Chair and also to be able to feed back to Sinn Féin. But in the interest of transparency, if there's people and councillors in the chamber who are not content with it, I would very much endorse that there needs to be more detail given out. I am very comfortable with it. I think it's a good governance, and I think it's a good high-level policy that actually probably puts us in a stronger position than we've ever been in terms of finances. But I recognise if you're not sure, then absolutely defer it and bring it back to the table with more detail, or party leaders can go and meet and discuss it in more detail.
Thank you, Councillor Hannah. Councillor Burns and Councillor Hannah. Or Councillor Taylor, sorry.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I agree with previous members. I think it is a good document. We do have to have more governance around our reserves policy. When we come to the process in December, January, February around the rates, it was a frustration of ours in the SDLP of how we use our reserves, how we put it against MRP to take it down. And we were always going by the advice of the chief executive of the day over the last two chief executives. So to have something in a document on reserves policy and how we use reserves going forward only strengthens our hand in that process. So we're not time bound. That process and the rates obviously kicks in. We do the preparatory work, but it kicks in December, January and February. So I'd like to have that document back so there's good governance over what we're doing in those months ahead. But happy enough for a deferral for a couple of weeks and bring it back to the next council so people can get full information. Yeah.
Thank you, Councillor Byrne. Councillor Riley.
Yes, Chairman. We voted against this committee. And I was actually surprised at the time whenever I asked what had preceded this new document. And it was we were advised that the council operated on best practice, and we thought that was a bit difficult to accept. And I have absolute trust in Josephine Kelly to bring a properly thought through paper on this. But I think my colleagues here, they just want a second opinion from an independent auditor, that this really does. It's a belt and braces approach we're adopting. We're not suggesting anybody's not capable of whatever. We very much appreciate what Josephine and her department have done, but it's just that belt and braces approach that we are absolutely sure that going forward we've adopted best practice with this new policy.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. Councillor Taylor?
Just briefly, Chair, I'm conscious of Councillor Hanlon's comments regarding going to party leaders, and I understand and respect the party leaders group, but an issue is important at this. I think all councillors should be provided with a briefing. For instance, myself and the independents don't sit on that party leaders group, so I think we should also be afforded that opportunity to get any briefing that's provided in respect of the policy going forward. So I would ask that for that to be a proposal as well, not just party leaders.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Hanlon?
Just what David was going to say, that's what I was intending. Group leaders is not really the place. Everybody needs to know. That's all I'm asking for. It's not a massive task. No reflection. You knew Josephine or anything like that. I would never sign up to anything, so I wouldn't unless I understood what was in it. That's all I'm asking for, to be deferred. Do you fill in for the detail in? Come back and tell us. I'll explain it to you to the best of your ability. Ask for the local government auditor there, sir, and if we're not satisfied, I will be looking for them to come and explain it to me, so if I'm not satisfied with your explanation. I'm sure you're more than able. Thanks, Chair. I suppose it still stands, Chair, to defer it.
Councillor Hannah. Councillor Truesdale.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, we're happy for a deferment as long as it's a quick turnaround and just a couple of weeks. And I'd also endorse, or if he needs a seconder, Councillor Taylor's remarks on an independent. I think it needs to go to every councillor. So if he's happy enough, if you're all happy enough with that, I'm happy to second that.
Sure, I'm making that all inclusive there. But
right.
I'm in the start, so as everybody needs to know.
Okay, thank you, everybody. So we're in agreement. Yep. Yeah. Thank you. Moving on to item 9, minutes of active health. Oh, sorry, proposal and second. Councillor Byrne?
No, he's on the next item.
Are we a proposal and second for that?
Yeah.
Councillor McAteer. Okay. Councillor Finn.
Yes, I just had a very quick comment just to make on the progress for the park, just to say that I think the Newry City Park, just to congratulate everybody, all the campaigners and all of the officers, because I think it's a really wonderful project for Newry, and just to welcome the progress that's been made on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Finn. Councillor Byrne? No. Item number 9, Minutes of Active Health and Communities Committee, being held on the 15th September 2025. Through the minutes for accuracy. Cases 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Can I have a proposer and a seconder, please? Proposed for Councillor Devlin, seconder, Councillor Finn. Any matters arising? Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I want to speak on, it's on page 2 on Council of Sanctuary. Chair, with the recommendations from the committee before us tonight for ratification, and we know there was a large discussion in that committee meeting and the discourse that has followed and continued in the intervening period. As group leader of the SDLP, I want to speak directly to this issue before the vote so there's complete clarity from my party's perspective. Chair, this chamber is a place for political debate.
Councillor Riley, can we give fellow members the back to the chamber, please?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, this chamber is a place for political debate, where we challenge each other on issues and ideas as we strive to improve the lives of everyone. And that's without exception across our district. A place where different views are respected. And as a councillor, I welcome debate. I always have welcomed debate. But that debate must be grounded in honesty. Every councillor in this chamber must abide by the principles of honesty, respect, openness and transparency while carrying out their duties on the behalf of the people that we represent. But Chair, we're also human beings. Human beings concerned for safety, dignity and truth that should be the foundation of our work in this chamber. I want to be very clear tonight. Council of Sanctuary status does not open the door to uncontrolled immigration. That is a lie. That is a deliberate and a dangerous lie. This status is not an immigration policy. Immigration is decided by Westminster and the Home Office, not by Newry Mourne and Down District Council. And that has been rehearsed time and time again. But yet, and I'll speak directly to the DUP, who know this to be the truth, have chosen to twist it. DUP, you have voted against even receiving more information about what the Council of Sanctuary status entails. And then you went ahead and stood on a public platform and claimed that you weren't given the information. I want to say that was false, that was dishonest, and worst of all, that has been used to fan the flames of hate. Misinformation from political parties, your political party that gives legitimacy to others to attack colleagues across this chamber. False statements have consequences. I'll not interrupt you.
Councillor,
no point of order.
Councillor Riley. Councillor Riley. Councillor Riley. I will allow Councillor Byrne. I will allow Councillor Byrne to continue. Councillor Riley, I will allow Councillor Byrne to continue.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Misinformation from political parties that give legitimacy to others to attack colleagues in this chamber. False statements have consequences. Since the deliberate misinformation campaign started, we've seen a rise in abuse like we've never experienced before. Councillors' faces plastered across social media with the word traitor across them. Female councillors being called tramps. Pieces of shit. Treacherous fat, C-U-N-T-S. Rats. Parasites. Useless, pathetic fools of women. How do those who shout the loudest about making our town safe for girls and women square that with this brutal, misogynistic abuse hurled at elected women in this chamber? Cannot claim to care about women's safety while standing silently as female councillors are subjected to violence through language. One of our councillors in the chamber from a Chinese background has been called a snake imported from there. Councillors have been accused of taking brown envelopes and being paid off to support the Council of Sanctuary, with one comment publicly going so far to state that councillors should be dragged onto the street and continuing to say, I won't say what should happen to them, because if I do, I'll be put in jail. This is not free speech. This is a coordinated campaign of threats and intimidation. And I ask directly to the DUP, when you come in to speak, do you support this? Do you recognise that you've created a platform for this hate for your own selfish political gains? Let me also address the attempt to vilify councillors who support inclusion, whether standing with the LGBT community, ethnic minorities, or the people of Palestine. Social media posts have gone out stating, does this represent you? Accompanied by photos of councillors supporting minority groups. I'm going to answer that straight and to the point. Yes, this represents me. I am a gay councillor, and I will not apologise for using my platform to speak at a Pride event and being a public voice for the LGBT community. Chairperson of this council, I stood on the platform of inclusion for everybody across this district. I champion many groups, many charities and initiatives across the district without exception. This council could create hundreds of photo montages highlighting work done on local issues and representation for local campaigns. Colleague Killian Fein has worked relentlessly on the campaign to secure services at Daisy Hill Hospital. Gary Fein has consistently represented the arts. Laura Devlin has championed and led on our growing our tourism product. Conagall Breit has been a loud voice for our young people and youth services. They've been told they can't stand with minority groups and be a representative for everyone in our district. Are we seriously being asked not to reach out to those from a different background to integrate them into our communities? Chair of Council, I attended events at the request of the DUP also and was thanked for being a representative for all without fear or favour. Does that extend to LGBT community and ethnic minorities who call this place, our district, their home, or are they to be excluded because of the growing narrative that they are a threat? I and many others will not be intimidated out of standing for inclusion and justice, and I and many others will not be bullied into a silence. Anybody who rang me on the issue, and the people that rang me were supportive, I spoke openly and honestly with them, and anyone who wants to contact me afterwards, I will continue to do the same. Same playbook being used here is used by Farage and others across the world. Blame immigrants for everything. Housing shortages, GP wait times, hospital pressures. Blame migrants. Blame those who look different. Create fear. Distract people from government failure. So let's call it what it is. This is deflection. DUP control the department that oversees housing. They cannot stand over their own record, so they look for a scapegoat. And now they've chosen migrants, and those of us that dare to stand with them are labelled as traitors. They give legitimacy to the falsehood that Council of Sanctuary is a takeover by NGOs. Another lie. I'll be absolutely clear on this. Council of Sanctuary status does not mean councillors are controlled by NGOs. That claim is as unhinged as it is false. The idea that it's a plot by those, and I quote this, those behind the City of Sanctuary are those who pushed the LGBT stuff. I would ask for that line to be explained. What exactly does that mean? That standing up for basic rights makes us traitors? That compassion is now a dirty word? Let's be absolutely clear. Let's be absolutely clear
on
what is it's an important...
You will have a chance in your rebuttal.
Let's be absolutely clear on what the Council of Sanctuary really is. It is our council saying that we will not tolerate abuse towards those who live here just because they look different. It's an anti-bullying policy. It says that this place, our district, is not one where people are hunted down because of their race, religion, accent, sexuality, or how they dress as part of their culture. Is it really acceptable that images are shared of local women in headscarves with the caption, "Does this represent you?" They live here. They work here. Their families are part of our communities. They are entitled to representation, and the effort to dehumanise them must be condemned without equivocation. So in closing, Chair, I want to speak to those in our community who have been taken in by this narrative. I see that you have real concerns. I understand that, about housing, jobs and healthcare. But blaming your neighbours will not build a single new home or open a GP surgery. Instead, I ask that you demand better from those who actually hold power. Demand it from the party, the DUP, and others in government who have let you down. Don't let them use fear, your fear, to build their power. And I want to directly ask the DEP, you come back in, do you accept the information provided by council officers and council of sanctuary is accurate, the information that was given to all councillors before the public rally? Do you condemn the threats made against councillors who supported this motion? And do you believe that people who look different, worship differently or love differently should be excluded from the protections and respect of this council? Because this issue isn't just about refugees or immigration. It's about who we are as a council and who we are as a people. Do we lead with fear and lies, or do we lead with honesty, courage and compassion? As John Hume said, the answer to the difference is to respect it. That choice is theirs, and as a party, the SDLP knows where it stands on that choice. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Byrne. Councillor Hannah.
To be quite honest with you, Chair, that is a rant. It is nothing else. It's an insult to me, my party, and everybody that works with us. Pete, you should hold your head in shame over this, you should. That is utter and total nonsense what you've spouted there. You had it even to claim a wee bit of credit, so you did for yourself and your colleagues. We all work for the community, so we do. No matter who or what it is. Pete, you're totally wrong in a lot of what you're saying. You're trying to blame ministers, so you are. You're trying to blame us that's sitting here. Yes, I did go to that rally in Uri, said it. I said a piece that I did at it. I never criticised, insulted, or actually, as you say, implying that I threatened anybody. I never threatened the soul, sir, I didn't. And for anybody that threatens or does anything in people, they're just totally wrong. And for you to get through that ramp you went through there, you should be actually ashamed. I thought, Pete, you were better than that. I actually thought you were better than that. That is just disgraceful what you come out with. But, Chair, on this, we will be asking for this to be removed from this minute because I'll tell you, to be quite honest with you, I think we're not properly informed yet. The information that the council has put out, I haven't seen it substantiated anywhere. I don't actually believe it all. Some may be true and some may not. I've heard contrary information that I have from many other sources. All you have to do is look at what's happening throughout Ireland, throughout the United Kingdom, and in Northern Ireland. What is happening? It's the people in the south of Ireland all wrong and misinformed that they're looking to try to protect their own community where there's large numbers of illegal immigrants coming in. All I want, and Henry's the same, is that our immigration is managed properly and we only get into our country so we do the ones that we need. We don't want all these people. Now, for want of a better word, I'm calling them queue jumpers. They're coming across the English channels, so they are, and they're just jumping into so they are to try to get a hope of getting staying here, which is totally and utterly wrong, that is. We need to protect our own resources. We're struggling at Stormont at this moment in time as it is. Money only will go so far, and the more people that come in like this, it's only generating more problems for ourselves. We have a shortage of housing. We have a shortage of healthcare. It's difficult to see doctors, it is. It's difficult to go to a hospital. And to be quite honest with you, I went up to that rally, Pete. And you're saying you were threatened. There was about 150 people there, and I could guess where they came from. I wouldn't get into Henry's car afterwards because there was that much spit on my coat. I had to take the coat off and put it in the boot of the car, so I did. So if you say them people are good people, and they called us DUP racist, they called us DUP bees, they called us all them things that they did. Pete, am I not democratically allowed to go and actually speak and say what I think? I believe now you've actually been turned anti-democratic. You've never heard me say anything about the gay community. You've never heard me say anything like that at all. I believe in live and let live. But at this point in time, there is little resources to cover everything. And we keep bringing these people in. And you go to some of these towns down in the south of Ireland and over in the mainland as well. Once you open the doors to this here, it has to be extremely well managed. That those will end up suffering. All of us will suffer so well. All of us will suffer because we just cannot get out our own resources. We only to see a doctor, go to schools, get children in the nursery school. There's all them things that cause a problem. So at this moment in time, we will not be supporting this. And actually, I believe it should be removed at the moment. And the one other thing that actually disappoints me, and actually I state in the minutes, that it was actually an officer in the council that's actually claiming, so it is. I'm not going to name the person, so I'm not. that it was her idea to actually create this council of, bring this council of sanctuary to ourselves. So, to be quite honest with you, I think that needs cleared up. It should be councillors, through a notice of motion, should be bringing this to council. So, at this moment in time, we will not be supporting it. We will have to be quite honest with you, just vote against it. And hopefully it may be removed, but I don't think that will probably happen here. So, Chair, that is my thoughts on it all.
Professor Jackson.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, just before I continue with my response, I just want to say any response that I or my party has made to this policy document has been concentrated on the document itself, and I certainly can't relate to anything that Councillor Byrne has accused us of. Chair, look, the reality is that there is an immigration crisis in the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, and we can also see that with our neighbours in the Republic of Ireland as well, and further afield in Europe. Anybody who doesn't see that or recognise that, I don't know what planet they're actually living on. And, you know, if Sinn Féin, the SDLP and the Alliance Party don't see that or don't want to recognise that, then, you know, they are simply not living in reality. But even worse than that, they're not listening to the people out there in the community who are experiencing these issues and are experiencing the problems in their own areas. So they are, in fact, ignoring the very people that has elected them. The DUP do recognise that there is an immigration crisis, and we are listening to people's concerns in their communities, and we will be the voice of the people who have genuine concerns about the impact of illegal and uncontrolled immigration on their areas and their way of life. Especially at a time, as has been touched on previously, of massive pressure on all our services, whether that be the health service, the schools, infrastructure. Our ratepayers just simply don't need this extra pressure of becoming a council of sanctuary, which could bring people here illegally, as I said, or putting pressure on these services. People have just simply had enough of this coming forward. They're not having it. And what we need is some common sense in this issue. You know, why would you bring forward a policy that might encourage more illegal and uncontrolled immigration that is already here and what we have? Why would you possibly put us into the position of empowering other bodies which aren't elected to influence council policy? And, you know, our existing council policy, as I said in the ASC committee, it's more than sufficient to deal with this situation. And if we just look at the practical actions of the City of Sanctuary Local Authority Network, under the terms of Council Sanctuary Criteria, it says there that this is to commit to work with partners to identify national policy issues in order to make collective representations to government to encourage and enable change. This guides what local authorities should do in practice. It reiterates the collective representation as one of the expected actions. So we can clearly see where this is going. We just believe there's no need for it, and as I said earlier, common sense needs to prevail before we move forward on this. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Jackson. Mr. Lewis.
Chair, thank you. Just to address Councillor Burns' comments, asking us directly, do we condemn threats on elected as representatives? Of course we do. Any normal person would. On the threats that I've received over the years, I've had my name painted on signs, on as walls, I've had cards through the post, I've been targeted, I've had nasty comments on Facebook. This week alone, my wife and I woke up to an individual threat on Facebook. It was passed to the police and adequately dealt with. Those responsible, I don't blame anybody else for those actions apart from those people who are deranged enough to make those threats against elected representatives. What Councillor Byrne has done tonight, and I have respect for Councillor Byrne, the utmost respect for Councillor Byrne, what he's done tonight is encourage those who wish to paint the DUP as bigoted, racist, and are wanting to raise a democratic objection to a policy the council officers are bringing through. There are people in this room tonight who have travelled from the city
to hear this council meeting and to raise genuine concerns. I'm under no illusion that they don't vote for me. They vote for the SDLP and for Sinn Féin. Speak to them. Meet them outside. Respond to them. Hear their concerns. Yeah. Don't blank them. Engage with them. Because to continually mix legal immigration and illegal immigration is disingenuous to the argument that's being made. People have real concerns about illegal immigration. Of course you can come here legally. And it doesn't bother me what colour you are, what creed you are, where you come from, or what, you know, what your religion is. But come here lawfully. And that's all the people are asking for. That if you're coming to work here, to live here, of course you should be welcomed. We are discussing bringing a unique policy, the city of sanctuary. And there is, it does tie this council into group lobbying, to group agendas. And what we are asking for is that policy is examined and examined fully. We have every right to democratically call that out. This entire district should be a district of sanctuary for everybody, not specifically chosen because of where you come from, what your colour of your skin is. Everybody should be safe in this district from Saintfield to Cross Midland. And it doesn't matter about your background, doesn't matter where you're from. And there is real and sizable objections to this council singling out a specific minority of people for special status. And what does that special status entail? Whenever immigration officials are placing people, will they come to a city of sanctuary or a district which doesn't have it? We don't know. That's here. Engage with the people from Newry, from your own town, who have the concerns, and have the debate with them. And just to close, I will say that those attacks, the online comments, the memes that are put up about councillors, and I'm well aware because my wife and my family and my children have to see the police in my house on a weekly, if not monthly, basis. It shouldn't happen. It's disgusting. And I fully concur that every elected representative should be safe to go about their work without that sort of ad. Sure. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Lewis. Councillor Riley.
Thanks, Chairman. Misinformation, Chairman, is a terrible thing. And I just want to read an extract here. Following a series of racist demonstrations, attacks on property, and the targeting of the Pride demonstration in Newry, the far right has called a demonstration in the city. The demonstration aims to divide people on the issue of provision of public services and has been called under the headline Local First. Now, Chairman, that is absolute lies, downright misinformation. And that come from the General Secretary of the Northern Ireland Public Service Alliance. Now, what is going on whenever we have people in such responsible roles actually encouraging
Brent, is this relevant
division?
To council decisions you're talking about?
Yes. You didn't say that to Pete Chairman whenever he was on his rant.
That's okay. Right.
Chairman. Pete Byrne said that we were informed the Friday before the event on Saturday. Chairman, there was a restricted document sent to councillors. And to be honest, it looked like something that a sixth form debating association would do to counter social media rather than any actual factual information on what the city of Sanctuary and Council of Sanctuary meant. It was rubbish, Chairman. And to suggest that that was good information sent to every council is patently not correct. It's not correct. Chairman, we were told that there was an equality impact statement done and it would be on the quarterly schedule or whatever. Now says no need for it. And just a screening will do. We were told it's non-controversial. Whenever it's probably one of the most controversial things that's come before this council for many years. It's just unbelievable the way that this is done. And even the City of Sanctuary's own rules and regulations say it should be brought to a council through a notice of motion. How does it make a councillor from a party of five members of this chamber, how does that make you feel whenever a council official can go on a solo run and bring this to council? It's just quite unbelievable that a council would act in this fashion on such an important issue. It's just quite incredible. And Chairman, under statutory competence, under the Local Government Act 2024, councils must act only within their conferred powers and functions. Immigration and asylum policy are accepted matters reserved to Westminster. Any collective representation to government in those topics should therefore be shown to relate directly to the local service delivery. Section 75, Chairman, have due regard to the need to promote equality of opportunity between specific categories, religious belief, political opinion, racial groups, all that type of thing. It also imposes a duty to promote good relations. Now, we're being told that our policies align with Section 75 in this regard. Alignment's not the same as actually complying with the law. That's where we are in this, Chairman, and we should not be proceeding on this issue. And Chairman, the SDLP Sinn Féin Alliance, they continually tell us it's the Home Office. They direct where these people go. Chairman, the truth is the Home Office have farmed out all that work to private companies like Serco and Mears. Is everyone in this chamber absolutely confident that Serco and Mears are not going to purchase property in Newry or Kilkeen or Sinn Féin? And Chairman, I am not opposed to migration so long as it's done legally and the people are prepared to integrate into our society. I can show you people from Carrickmacross, only a few miles across the border, and they can't go out at night. Their town is absolutely destroyed, Chairman. People saying this on public record, even Sinn Féin are now starting to take note and organising public meetings to oppose what's going on there. I don't want that type of activity in Newry or Kilkeel or Annalong or Sinn Féin or Ballinahenge. That's not too much to ask. So it has to be done properly if it's going to be done. And this City of Sanctuary thing has been a hush-posh of misinformation to us, the councillors, being misled on it, deliberately misled, Chairman. As far as I'm concerned, on how this was brought to council, suddenly we find out it was a council official that brought this. You know, who was lobbied? Was that official lobbied to bring this before us? You know, we need these answers, Chairman. And we're elected to represent the people and try and find what the truth is and how these things come about. But Chairman, Glenn Hannah's made a proposal that this be taken off the agenda. And I agree, I second that, and would like a recorded vote on it, Chairman.
Mr. Taylor.
Yep, thanks, Chair. Chair, listen, in the first instance, I want to condemn any threats that were made against members for taking a particular position. I think, you know, I'm 14 years in this council now, and I've had many debates and many nights where probably we've came home angry about decisions taken or angry about what was discussed. And I think one of those reasons that is the case is because we care about the people that we represent. And I think as elected representatives, we should always be very careful about the language that we use within the chamber and be very careful about accusing other members within this chamber of making comments unless you have the evidence to back that up. But I'm not getting involved in that because I'm not aware of anything that was said or has been alleged that was said here this evening. But I'm always conscious that as elected representatives, we have a responsibility to the people in this room, but we also have a responsibility for the communities that we serve. And we talk about building safer communities, and that's one of our key components as a council. And as part of that, we have to show leadership on that issue. So we should always be tempered in our language. We can make our views very clear on where we stand on issues, and we continue to do that in this chamber on a daily basis. But we always should be measured and be tempered in how we approach things to make sure that is reflected within the community as well. So I just urge that caution on everybody. But I suppose from this discussion has started, like, I've had my own concerns in this, and I've made that clear previously, and I still have concerns, and you know, I feel that we're maybe signing up to something we don't have any control over, and there has been genuine concerns raised within the community in this as well, and I have to be honest with you, I've taken a considerable feedback on this over recent weeks, and people coming to me with really genuine questions and genuine concerns about it, and I don't think they've all been answered from what I've seen here either. And it is a major concern of mine that we're signing up potentially to something here that we have absolutely no control over, because immigration isn't an issue that we have any control over. It's a Westminster issue, and we're potentially signing up to something without actually knowing what the impact of that is. And a note, you know, you've mentioned about the fact that there isn't an equality impact assessment, you know, going to be needed on the basis that there's no adverse impacts specified at this time, at this current time. And in many ways, wording is an important thing in anything that we discuss here. At this current time doesn't mean that there won't be issues down the line. We should always be conscious of that. So I feel that's why we should have undertaken an equality impact assessment in regard to this, because if people have genuine concerns about an issue, and it's not about trying to tie people into a particular issue, because I recognise that there is, you know, positive immigration and people providing a vital service to our communities from an immigrant background, and the hospitals is a key example of that. But this isn't about that. So we're potentially signing up to something to say that we don't know actually what the full impact of it is. So I think to totally disregard those concerns is irresponsible as well. And I'm certainly not going to discriminate against anybody because of their background or where they're from. And anybody that knows me within this chamber knows that I don't discriminate against anybody. I've certainly political arguments and political debates with people, but I've never ever discriminated against anybody because of who they are or what they are. Take everybody at face value. But what I want to see is people offering a positive contribution to society that we live in. So any concerns that I'm raising here are genuine, and I don't want anybody thinking that to the contrary in that. So I certainly feel that we shouldn't be proceeding at this point with this as well, and I'm happy to support the proposal that's been brought forward by Councillor Hannah. So, but I do appeal to members just to be very tempered and conscious of their remarks, you know, on this type of issue, and we'll have a debate later on Councillor Lewis's motion as well, that, you know, highlights the risks involved at times in terms of people taking viewpoints, and, you know, the murder of Charlie Kirk, and that will be discussed later on. But as I say, there are genuine concerns, and I think they should be taken on board by members here, and that's why the issue of an equality impact assessment should have been considered to try and address some of those concerns. But listen, it'll go to a vote here tonight, but we'll see where we are after that, I suppose.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Finn?
Yeah, just to say, there's a slight amendment needed on the minutes, because I was actually at the last AHC meeting, and I know because of the amount of abuse that I have received since that meeting. I really would just like to extend solidarity, particularly with any of my female AHC colleagues, because it has genuinely been appalling, and that is the only way that I can describe that to everybody in this chamber, that nobody, I think, comes into politics to have men calling them at midnight. Nobody. And nobody would like it. I really dislike the inference made that we in Uri have ignored people that have elected us. I think that's wrong. And what I would like to ask this evening is, if there are questions on the information that council have provided us, please ask them now, because we leave this chamber and that creates a vacuum, and that then leads to more abuse and more phone calls and more horrible impacts on people. So ask the questions now. Let's have the discussion, because it's unacceptable for any elected representative to come out of this chamber and to face what myself and other colleagues across this chamber have done for the past month. So let's have a conversation now, because I can't deal with any more of that, nor do I think I should have to.
Mr. Murphy. Mr. Finn.
Right. How about that? What's been censored there? Yeah, no, it's hard to listen to.
to be honest with you, from some of my colleagues that are, you know, on the tough end of this with the abuse that they've received for speaking up, standing up for something that they believe is the right thing to do. For myself, I've listened to the debate here tonight, and I don't really understand how people, you know, don't fully comprehend exactly what has been put in front of us here. I think people have a choice. You know, either you bring your politics to it and you don't want to understand, you know, or you be more open-minded like ourselves, and, you know, you take a good look at this and then come to your own decision, which we have done. It has been published, you know, exactly what the position is of the council in the Uri Democrat, at least twice. It's also been put on social media, you know, so if people want to really know, you know, everybody's got a responsibility and an opportunity to go and take a look at that. As far as I'm concerned, I'm fully satisfied that it meets policy within the council, and I'm more than happy to support it. Daisy Hill, you know, Davey mentioned it, it was facing collapse, right? It hadn't got the staff. Tried to get the staff throughout the island of Ireland, couldn't get the staff. Then it obviously sent that invite far afield. Got a lot of people that came from India. You know, now consultants, doctors, nurses, they're keeping Daisy Hill going. They're keeping it still functioning for the people of Newry Morningtown District and Fuller Field. But yet a lot of those staff have been abused and have been on the receiving end of racist abuse. Now, there was a rally called by the trade unions in support of the staff. I know who was there to support the people who were being abused, and I know who wasn't there to support the people who were being abused. There has been numerous rallies called for more housing. I know who supported that, and I know who didn't. And I know a lot of the people who have been lobbying me in recent times never once in their lives lobbied me about the cost of living, about housing, about Daisy Hill, about policing, about drugs issues, about none of those issues. You know, so I know exactly where I stand when it comes to the people that have been lobbying me. I'd just like to commend, you know, my colleagues here that have taken the pressure and are very much standing up for what they believe in. And like, we could go into this all night. There's a million things that I've heard tonight that is very offensive. They're completely wrong. But that's debate. You know, not everything's going to go your way. So be it. But we will make a decision here tonight. You know, hopefully that won't bring on more abuse from the people that are obviously stoking fear, stoking hatred, because that's not the world that I want to live in, and I'm sure many people around this chamber are the same. We want to live in a world that is more inclusive, that is more open, that is more caring, not one that is full of hatred and division. And we can see this is a global issue. This isn't just confined to Newry Morningtown. We can see the rise of misogyny. We can see the rise of racism. And we can see that that serves a particular political agenda. And I'm not going to buy into that agenda. In fact, we'll do everything in our power to oppose it. Have done for decades and will continue to do that. So I support the Council of Sanctuary proposal. Jeanette.
Thank you, Councillor Murphy. Councillor High.
Thank you, Chair. And I'll keep it fairly short, just because my colleagues from Sinn Féin and SDLP have sort of said a lot of what I want to say, and I do commend Councillor Burton for what he said at the start there, and some of the setting some of the records straight in terms of the misinformation. I do want to say that I'm very disappointed with my DUP and UUP colleagues for their actions in opposition to the Council of Sanctuary. And I also want to extend a hand to my colleagues who have received abuse around the chamber tonight, particularly online. It has been shocking, and I'm for one, I'm pleased that I wasn't as subject of that. But I do really feel for them. To be very clear, this is not about illegal immigration, which the DUP keeps saying, and it's very frustrating. And what we've also heard is this is also an issue that is with the
the Home Office and with the UK government. I don't want to keep banging on about this, but I agree, and so does my party colleagues with the Council of Sanctuary. And I also want to make very clear, the DUP keep making this about an immigration crisis, of which I don't believe there is one in Northern Ireland. There was ONS statistics that were published last week that showed a very marginal increase in net population in Northern Ireland, and in fact, Newry Morndown was the only council area in which there was a decrease in net population. So all of that, in my point of view, is just misinformation, and it is a way to mislead on what is actually a crucial issue here and is supporting minorities in our council area. So that is all I have to say. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Howe. Councillor Lewis, you've already had an opportunity to speak, so unless you're addressing the point of accuracy.
Chair, I'm just making the point that it's been said here tonight, if the DUP have any questions on this, to ask the questions now. Let me be clear, it's not up for me to ask questions on behalf of the residents who have concerns about this. They're sitting there.
Councillor Hannah, to a foul member, Councillor Finn, you will allow Councillor Lewis to speak.
Chair, it's not my role to ask questions on behalf of the people of Newry who don't vote for me. Just to make it more clear, Councillor Finn. They are your constituents, not mine. So I'm not sitting here asking questions on their behalf. They've sent every councillor in this chamber an email. And what I'm simply saying is they're here tonight. If you want to address any of their concerns, speak with them. Meet them. Go outside the chamber and talk to them. There are people from your town, from Newry, with genuine concerns on this. I think we've been extremely clear, Chair. We don't need any extra information on this. We don't need to review this. The position is quite clear, and let me make the position clear. DUP don't think this is necessary, that it should be brought forward. This district should be a district of sanctuary for everybody. And it's because that this motion was brought forward that we're now having this debate. And let me say, could councillors stop equating this with the colour of people's skin or where they come from? Because we aren't doing that. You're mixing it. You're using the word bigot, racist. No one's talking about that. We're talking about equal opportunities and a district of sanctuary for everybody, not the chosen few.
Mr. Reddy, and I will again.
Yes, thanks very much, Chairman.
Chairman, just address a point of accuracy. Sorry? If it's the address point of inaccuracy within statements, you've already come in this motion, in this item, so if you're wishing to address an inaccuracy, please do so, because we already have a proposal in front of us here, and
yes,
we're keen to move on with that.
Yes, Chairman, thank you. Chairman, just on what Declan said about the Sovereign Trust having to go out to bring people in to fill positions, we completely and absolutely support that. But what Declan's doing, he's confusing the type of migration that's happened in Carrickmacross with bringing in professional people for a specific role. Those are completely different things. And we 100% support all those doctors and nurses in Daisy Hill. And if anybody said a word to them, I'd be the first to protect them and stand up for them. So Declan should not go down that road of confusing that. And just on what Pete also said about, you know, that was a deliberate slur to suggest that we are anti-gay or anything like that. That is just such a repugnant statement for a representative to make towards not only us individuals, as a DUP grouping. Like, that's just not on, Chairman. And Chairman, there's so many things that we still have to answer. The coordinated approach between councils all across the UK on certain issues and all. We are, under the terms of this, we're obligated to do that. I haven't seen that in any of the information that's come from the staff, but I just wanted to point it out to Declan that it's very important that you don't confuse people who are providing an invaluable service with people who may come here with illegally. Thank you, Chairman.
Councillor Jackson, again, to reiterate my previous statements, you know, I've spoken this matter, so if it's to address any accuracy, please do so, otherwise we're moving on.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Just one quick point. We have had a lot of talk about equality impact assessments. It was mentioned in committee that there was an equality impact assessment carried out. Now we're saying that we don't need it. So I'm just asking for clarification. Was it carried out at all? And if it was, can we see the results?
Mr. Jackson.
Through the Chair, there was a quality screening carried out, and that was provided in information to all for several times. So that's the fact that quality screening was.
Thank you. Okay, we have a proposal in front of us, and it's been part of the vote.
That the council rejects or removes the item on Councillor Santry completely from the agenda.
I mean, if there's clarity that Councillor Reddy is seconding your proposal, Councillor Hannah. And a recorded vote has been requested.
Okay, Councillor Andrews is absent. Councillor Bowsey? Councillor Brennan? Councillor Byrne? Councillor Campbell?
Against.
Councillor Clark? Councillor Devlin? Councillor Enright?
Against.
Councillor Feehan? Councillor Finn? Councillor Gilbreth? Councillor Gibbons is absent. Councillor Hanlon?
Yeah.
Councillor Hannah? Councillor Hart? Councillor Hardy? Councillor Howell?
Again.
Councillor Howe? Councillor Jackson? Councillor Kearns? Councillor Orla King? Councillor Cahill King? Councillor Larkin? Councillor Lee Surgener? Councillor Lewis? Councillor McGuinness? Councillor Mathers? Councillor McAteer? Councillor McAvoy is absent. Councillor Declan Murphy? Councillor Kate Murphy?
Against.
Councillor Selena Murphy? Councillor O'Hara is absent. Councillor Quinn? Councillor Riley? Councillor Rice? Councillor Wan? Councillor Taylor? Councillor Tinley?
Against.
Councillor Truesdale?
Against.
Councillor Young? So I have 6, 4 and 31 against and no abstentions.
So the proposal falls. Okay. We have a proposer and a seconder to accept the minutes of the Sustainable Environment, or sorry, the Actively Healthy Communities with the amendment. With the amendment, Councillor Finn's attempt. Councillor Murphy proposed and Councillor Brennan seconded. Thank you. Any other matters arising? Councillor Clark?
Yeah, sure. A number of the Mourns DA councillors were having a chat in the breakout area in regards to the item that was for noting was the Leisure Centre, Newcastle Leisure Centre site selection. I feel we have to deal with it tonight, mainly because any delays will jeopardise the project. It's as simple as that. I've seen it all before. You know, we've seen numerous proposals for a new Leisure Centre in Newcastle, and there's been delays after delays, and I cannot tolerate any more of delays because the people in Newcastle are sick to the teeth in regards to it. What we need to do is to deliver now. We need to deliver a state-of-the-art leisure centre for the people in Newcastle and the hinterland and visitors also to provide the much-needed leisure facilities that the people require. The majority of Mourns DA councillors, we've had plenty of discussions in regards to it, support the preferred location that the officers have outlined, which is the rear of the Newcastle Centre and the Newcastle Centre building refurbished. It's an adequate site. I've heard arguments about there's a lack of parking. And there's a contradiction in regards to the people who are saying there's a lack of parking, because they're always talking about active travel. We need to get public transport. We need to be cycling to centres. We need to be walking to centres. And by the time this leisure centre is built, we'd be more required to mitigate climate change. So for decades, as I say, with the delays, I was involved with Newcastle 2000, which was formed in 1999 with the main aim of building the leisure centre for Newcastle. That's 26 years ago, and we still have no leisure centre. 24 of them years I was a councillor. I'm sure the chief executive remembers, we had many discussions with regards to many sites. And I think the time, is for decisions. We are appointing, in the process of appointing consultants to deliver two projects in Newcastle, the planning stage, and that's the Newcastle Centre, Leisure Centre, and also the Rockpool. In the middle of appointing consultants, we're deciding to start looking at different sites. That was set. I agree with the officers that would set the project back by at least 5 years, because we did. The only other site that was really available was the Donner Park site, and we just discussed it, and it was a preferred site at the time. In 2012, we discussed it. There was public meetings in regards to it, and people opposing that we were going to provide the leisure centre in Donner Park because of loss of open space, open green space. There was public meetings packed in the old leisure centre, and there was numerous, letter writing campaigns in the papers and against it. And we now have the Eat and Beats Festival. We've different pipe band competitions in Donner Park now. And also, even in regards to the Moran Gateway project alternatives, we need to look at options there as well. There may be a need for a building in Donner Park moving forward as well. So I think in regards to if we appoint the consultants, then we move on to the stage of consulting with the community. There's misinformation been put out there in regards to the designs agreed and the people of Newcastle haven't been consulted. They've been consulted for decades, and we've delivered nothing. Now is the time to deliver for the people in Newcastle moving forward. So I would like to change the action that we I propose that we agree with the officers that we progress with the preferred site, which is the current Newcastle Centre site.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Do you have a second here for your proposal?
Sure.
Councillor Hannah?
Sure. My lead to it. Yeah. I'm happy to the second Mully's proposal. To be quite honest with you, we've been round in circles here. There is a lot of misinformation starting to be put out there again by certain individuals. And Newcastle Centre is basically the only spot in Newcastle that is prominent. It's not a massive site. But I believe the consultants or the designers of it, they can put a good project together. And Newcastle, as Willie says, has been consulted to parts, the pieces that it has. And I tell you, we need action on this, and we need it now, so we need delivery, so we do. So I'm more than happy to second what Willie has, Councillor Clark has suggested, because it's just, we cannot keep going on like this. And I'm talking to Andy now, the director. All this, Willie says it's going to knock years off it that we start mucking about, so we do, and looking for alternate sites. There is limited sites, to say the best. They're almost non-existent in Newcastle now, so they are. And actually, we'd nearly have to go into the countryside, and I don't even think we get planning permission out there, so I don't. So Newcastle Centre and the area and behind it is the best location, so it is. And I'm more than happy, Willie, and thank you for bringing it up again, sir, because we need something done. And I know I spoke to Laura outside, and I think she would run the summer idea. So I'm happy to second that and to get it moved on as quickly as we possibly can.
Thank you, Councillor Hannah. Councillor Devlin?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. And I suppose just echo the comments from Willie and Glenn there. You know, I just want to get things moving. We've been around far, far too long with this in the background. And for the first time, I think, in a long while, we have momentum. We've got a budget to get going, and I think we need to just push on ahead with it. And I am very conscious that Councillor Truesdale wasn't around those few years ago when some of those conversations did take place. So maybe one thing, because it would be really good if all the councillors were behind this one project. It's so important for Newcastle, and the people in Newcastle don't want to see us all fighting with each other. They don't want to see it. They want to see us on the one page, and they want to see us actually delivering the facilities that they deserve. So maybe perhaps, I know obviously Councillor Truesdale will be on the call, but it might be an idea maybe to sit down with Andy to go through the previous site selections, sort of, you know, outside of the public arena, so she's fully on board with the history that's been there and the fact that we are so limited. Glenn's touched upon it. I mentioned it at the AHC meeting in terms of land availability in Newcastle, the flooding problems that we have. You know, in terms of bigger sites, they're just not out there. And my fear would be also, like Willie and Glenn, that if we take the foot off the gas now and we hold back and we're looking for different sites, before we know it, we'll have lost another decade and the amount of children in Newcastle that won't have learned to swim or whatever else in that time. So I think it's just really important that we're all on the one page and we all try to push ahead. This time, I'm more than willing to support that, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Devlin. Councillor Truesdale.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, Councillor Devlin's right. These are all historical issues. I wasn't involved in any of them. But I didn't ask for consultants to go out and start drawing up designs for other leisure centres in other areas. What I asked for was a list of sites that had already been scoped and why they were rejected. I just wanted to know why we were suddenly building a base station in Donard Park, but yet it didn't appear to be on the list for a leisure centre. So that I only asked for what has been scoped and why it was rejected. I don't want to drag this out any longer than what it has been, which is pretty much my entire lifetime. I want children to have swimming lessons. I want them to be in a proper pool, and I want what Newcastle deserves after all this time. So I'm not asking for consultants to go out and do massive reports. I just want to know what has already been looked at. Thanks, Chair.
Mr. Riley.
Yes, Chair. I would just like to thank the staff for what the work they helped done on this, and every avenue has been explored. And I just think it's terrible, Chairman, that people would go on social media and then the local press and misinform the local community that there are viable alternatives. I just think that was an awful thing to do. And the main priority for the council has to be to get this project up and running as soon as possible.
Thank you, Councillor Redding.
Through the chair, yes. So just to inform councillors, we're in a position, we will be in a position to appoint a consultancy team shortly to progress the project into planning. I'll be bringing a report back through AHC committee later this month. To bring a table in front of members for the appointment of that consultancy team. That will push this project on and show real progress and get us into planning, essentially, for the development of a new site. I'll also bring information back through the DEA councillors. We can arrange a meeting and we can provide the relevant detail that has been requested in terms of site selection, etc. But we will be appointing, the proposal will be to appoint the consultancy team to progress the project on the Newcastle Centre site, just to be very clear. So that's.
Thank you, Andy. So we are in agreement? Yep. Okay. Okay, moving on to item 10 of the agenda, which is the minutes of Sustainability and Environment Committee meeting held on the 16th of September 2025. Three meeting minutes for accuracy. This is one. Page 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Can I propose on a seconder, please? Mr. McGuinness, seconder. Mr. Feehan, any matters arising? Okay, thank you. Moving on to plan section. New items. Item number 12, correspondence report. Can I have a proposer and a seconder, please?
Close.
Mr. Connell?
Close.
Close. Seconder? Mr. McGuinness? Any matters arising?
Yeah,
Councillor Hannah?
Yeah, it's just to come in on the response from the South Eastern Trust and
Chief Executive in regard to the notice of motion around the enhancement of services at the Down Hospital. I welcome this and I have concerns about this correspondence in equal measures because obviously Roisin Coulter has detailed the great work being done at the Down and I absolutely endorse that and I know the staff up there are second to none and the services that they have are very, very good. Only over the weekend my nephew had caused to use urgent care and was treated like royalty and it saved him having to go to A&E in the Ulster and that can only be commended. But her letter does not actually address what the notice of motion actually was. So it's very good at promoting the Down, and I absolutely welcome that. But I think maybe we need to go back to what the notice of motion was and ask Roisin to actually clarify what her response is to the motion rather than the correspondence that we have in front of us. And I would make that as a proposal to write back to her.
Thank you, Councillor Hanlon. You have a second of your proposal? Councillor Gilbreath? Are you all in agreement? Councillor Rice.
Yep, Chairman, Chair. It's just in relation to item 12.3, response from the Home Office regarding the fishing industry and enhancement support. I had brought a motion, and I'm aware other councillors have brought similar motions with respect of the issues with seasonal workers and worker visas. These motions were supported by everyone in the Chamber, and there was cross-party consensus regarding the issues with seasonal workers. It's striking that as of last week, I was contacted by a factory in Mourne regarding the issues with obtaining welders for their fabrication business. They've exhausted the local labour market in Southdown and they just cannot replace multiple vacancies. In respect of this correspondence, there's nothing in it really that gives me confidence that the chronic issues that we have raised will be addressed, but in fact will be exacerbated. The fishing industry is under immense pressure, and I'll not rehash or get into it here tonight, but it's just beyond frustrating that the issue only seems to be getting worse and affecting many sectors beyond the agri and food sectors. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Rice. Councillor Fagan.
Thanks very much, Chair. It's just in relation to item 12.2, the response from the Department of Health in relation to access to QRT cell therapy. So I have to say I am disappointed with the response that we received from the Minister. I view it as essentially just a reiteration of the Department of Health's initial position, and just to advise the Chamber that since we actually passed this motion at Council, the SDLP got this issue of access to QRT cell therapy on the agenda at Stormont for debate, and as part of that process, we facilitated a round table, a blood cancer round table at Parliament Buildings, which brought together senior clinicians, consultant haematologists, Blood Cancer UK, Leukaemia Lymphoma NI, families that had been impacted by the inability to access services locally. And to be honest, what we sort of unearthed through those discussions, particularly with the contributions from consultant haematologists, was concerning because basically it clashed with what the DOH were saying in terms of timelines for delivery. The capacity issues in the south that were spoken to in the minister's response doesn't factor in that there's going to be a new QRT facility that's set to open in Galway at the end of this year. I would say that the proposals that the SDLP tabled in the Assembly were endorsed across party lines. There was unanimous support for them in the Assembly chamber, and I think that that's really, really welcome. And in responding to the motion, the Health Minister actually said specifically and really clearly that if members in Stormont weren't satisfied with the position of his department or the timelines that he was outlining, he invited them to test those assertions at the Health Committee. So, essentially, Chair, what I'm hoping to propose tonight is that the Council writes to the Assembly's Health Committee, whether that's the Chair or the Clerk or whatever it is, basically requesting that they do exactly that which the Minister has invited them to do, and that is to test DOH's position in respect of the timeline for the delivery of QRT services at City Hospital. And I would like, as part of that proposal, for us to ask the Assembly Health Committee to request the input of the clinical experts, because what they said very, very clearly through their engagement with us was that this service could be delivered locally in the north on a timeline that is much, much quicker than that which has been outlined by DOH. So that's a proposal, please, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Fain. Do you have a seconder for your proposal? Councillor Byrne? Are we all in agreement? Yes. Moving on, Councillor Hardy.
It was also to come in on the response from the Health Minister. It started off quite positive, recognising the many benefits of establishing cross-border healthcare and cross-border patient care, and very disappointed to see then that he ends it by stating that basically it's just the way it is, that patients will continue to have to put additional risk to their lives when they're already facing a horrific illness, travelling over to England, and it's simply not good enough, and I'd commend Councillor Feehan on his proposal.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Councillor Gilbreth?
Item 12.1 as well, the notice of motion for enhanced services at the Down. I'd like to thank Councillor Hammond for her comments earlier. I was just wondering if we can also, with regards to that letter, if we could request that the consultation report associated with it is formally brought to the Health Working Group here at Council, just as an opportunity to ensure that we remain informed, engaged and in a position to represent our community effectively with any further developments.
Councillor Gilbreth, there's a proposal, was it? Yep, you have a seconder for your proposal? Councillor Hahn, are we in agreement? Okay. Councillor Riley?
Yeah, Chairman, it was 12.4, I think it is, the response from the Northern Ireland Fish Producers Organisation. They've officially invited the Council to attend their training facility in Argyll, I think it is. Right. I think, Chairman, we should take them up on that invitation, and certainly the Argyll councillors and the Kilkeel councillors are very interested in it.
Second of that proposal, Councillor. And beat you to the punch there, Anna. We can relay all that information through Democratic Services. It would be great. Thank you. Okay. Moving on to item number 13, notice of motion. Dunleaf Park safe space for dog owners. This motion is brought by Councillor Gilbreth, and Standing Order 16.1.6. Councillor Gilbreth, it will be heard at committee. So if you want to speak your motion, please.
Thanks again, Chair. So the motion reads...
Just to read the motion and to say who seconded your motion, Councillor Gilbreth.
I go again?
To read your motion and state who is seconding your motion.
Yeah. So the motion reads... This Council acknowledges growing concerns from members of the public regarding dog fouling and incidents involving off-lead dogs in Dunleaf playing fields. In response, this Council agrees to explore the feasibility of creating a secure fenced area within Dunleaf playing fields where dog owners can safely exercise their dogs off-lead. Such a facility would help promote responsible dog ownership, reduce the risk of dog-related incidents in shared public areas, and provide a dedicated safe space for dogs and their owners. And it will be seconded by Councillor Ordekin.
Thank you, Councillor Brief. Moving on to item number 14, notice of motion, ladies with letters. Following notice of motion was received from Councillor Finn, the first of the September 2025 meeting. Councillor Finn, would you like to state your motion and say who seconded it? Speak your motion.
Yeah. So Nearing Morning Down Council recognises the courage and bravery of the Ladies with Letters campaign group, who are representing 17,500 women, will amplify their frustrations with the Department of Health and will write to the Minister of Health to show our support for the continued calls for an independent inquiry. And this motion will be seconded by Councillor Orla King. Council, this week, beginning the 6th of October, will mark 2 years from when 17,500 ladies in the Southern Health and Social Care Trust received letters stating that their cervical smear tests may have been looked at incorrectly. This spanned a 13-year period from 2008 until 2021. Since then, the Ladies with Letters have engaged and campaigned bravely for answers in relation to how this happened and as who is going to take full accountability for this. In December 2024, two reports were published by the Southern Health Trust and the PHA following the cervical cytology review. Since then, there have been further delays on additional reports expected, and this has just added to the frustration and delay felt by many of those ladies who received letters. And so it's unacceptable that we have so many women in our constituency who have had their lives impacted by this negative shadow that has loomed over them for years. The fact is, they are more than ladies with letters. They are ladies who haven't been given answers they need and deserve. I hope that there will be support across this chamber for the Ladies with Letters campaign, and the Council's calls for an independent inquiry in our letter will help ensure that this never again happens. I'd like to finish by also urging that women of all ages to continue to come forward with their smear tests as part of our screening programme when invited, because it is so important. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Finn. Councillor King.
I'd like to thank Councillor Finn for tabling this motion this evening, one which is very close to all of our hearts. I've been deeply moved by the bravery of the women behind the Ladies with Letters campaign. These women have been through more than any of us can imagine, but instead of staying silent, they picked up their pens and demanded answers, and that takes courage. The cervical smear scandal wasn't simply an error, it was an absolute betrayal. Lives were changed, families shattered, and trust in our health system badly shaken. And yet these women are standing tall, asking for something simple, the truth. We in the SDLP stand behind them. We believe they fully deserve an independent inquiry with no excuses, just honesty, accountability and change. Because if we don't learn from this, it will happen again. And it's not something any of us should accept. So let's back these women, listen to their letters and make sure their voices lead to real change. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor King. Councillor Murphy.
Thank you, Chair. Welcome, Councillor Finn's motion. Sinn Féin fully supports the continued calls for an independent inquiry. A full understanding of the facts could only be obtained by hearing from those who have lived with the experience of Ladies with Letters, a group of ladies who feel they are no further forward in their quest for answers and accountability. They have waited long enough.
Thank you, Councillor Murphy. Councillor Young.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks to Councillor Finn for bringing this motion, and we fully support the motion. For over a decade, women in Northern Ireland have lived with the devastating consequences of cervical screening failures, and still too many questions remain unanswered. The women behind Ladies with Letters campaign deserve answers, not more delays. The scale of the cervical screening failures demands a fully independent public inquiry, and only transparency, accountability and truth can rebuild the trust in our health system. These women have shown remarkable dignity and persistence in their fight for truth. Their voices must now be met with action, not silence. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Young. Councillor Devlin.
Thank you, Chair, and thanks to Derry for tabling such an important motion and before us this evening. I suppose, like many people in this chamber and the previous speakers, you know, I've spoken to women in our district who received those devastating letters. They're ordinary women who did everything right. They attend their appointments, they trust the system, and yet they were let down in the most fundamental way. It's now 2 years since the letters landed on doorsteps, and still too many questions remain unanswered. The Southern Trust and the Public Health Agency have had their reviews, but what these women are asking for and the council should back is transparency, accountability and truth. And that's what a statutory independent inquiry can provide. This is not about blame for the sake of it. It's about restoring trust, because when women lose confidence in screening, lives are lost. The most powerful message we can send tonight is that we hear these women, we stand with them, and we will amplify their call for answers and for change. Council should also send a clear signal to the Department of Health that delay only compounds the hurt. The time for half measures is over. The only way to ensure this never happens again is through openness, learning and reform. Finally, like Councillor Finn, I want to encourage every single woman watching or listening, please still attend your smear test when invited. Screening does save lives, and our anger at the failure should never take away from the importance of early detection. I fully support the motion, and I really hope, Chair, that we all do the same. For the 17,500 women affected, for those who've lost loved ones, and for every woman who deserves a health system that she can trust. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Devlin. Councillor Hannah.
Chair. Thanks to the councillor there for bringing this forward. It's hard to believe that this, was it 2 years now this is going on? 2 years? That's absolutely a disgrace, to say the least. Firstly, I'm sure investigations were done fairly quickly afterwards, though, but that does not say that why these precautions, you know, and scrutinisation of all these tests weren't done more thoroughly. That's the first thing. So this, why they weren't double checked properly. So there has been massive failings there to allow this to have happened. As Laura's just after saying, the ladies involved, it's probably I'm sure it has devastated their lives. And to be quite honest with you, I would nearly be sure there's people who possibly lost their lives over this. It needs sorted, and it needs sorted urgently. I can't believe it's 2 years. This should have been sorted out within months, not into 2 years. So it is. So very happy for us, our group, in there to support the motion, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Hannah. Councillor Taylor? Yes, thank you, Chair. Councillor Hannah, can you?
Sure.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Thanks, Councillor Finn, for bringing forward this motion this evening. And I certainly want to acknowledge the significant work that's been undertaken by the Ladies with Letters group and striving to stand up for the 17,500 women that were affected by the misreading of the cervical smear tests. The campaign group has long held the view that an independent statutory public inquiry is the only avenue for proper scrutinising the failures that occurred. And to ensure that women are never subject to anything like this again, I sincerely hope that their concerns are addressed and that a mechanism can be delivered which ensures that every woman that receives a smear test, that they have full confidence in that process going forward. And a public inquiry seems the only way that those concerns can be addressed. So, you know, I would certainly hope that that can be brought forward as soon as possible also, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Finn, would you like to sum up?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Just to say thank you for everybody's input in the chamber this evening. I think it's just really, really great that we can see our whole council chamber working together to support women who have been failed within a healthcare system. So thank you so much for all your support.
Thank you, Councillor Finn. Yeah, moving on to item 15 of the agenda, notice of motion, All Ireland Citizens Assembly. Under Standing Order 16.1.6, this will be heard in committee. Councillor Quinn, would you like to state your motion, please?
Yeah, and this will be seconded by Councillor Hannah. This council notes the growing public discussion on the constitutional future of this island and recognises the provision within the Good Friday Agreement for people of Ireland to decide the future through referendums. Accordingly, this council agrees to write to the Office of an Taoiseach, urging the Irish Government to plan and prepare for Irish unity through the following actions. Establish an All-Ireland Citizens Assembly and a Joint Oireachtas Committee on Irish Unity. Produce and publish a plan towards Irish unity in conjunction with civil society and key stakeholders, including local government. Work to secure a date for a referendum on unity as provided for in the Good Friday Agreement. And this council further commits to ensuring that the voices of people across Nerry, Mourne and Down are heard as part of the important conversation about the future of Ireland. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Quinn. Moving on to
Chair. Point of order. Number 19.9 of Standing Order. Just want to raise a point of order.
Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I just want to get clarity on the moving this motion to Equality and Good Relations in the 16.1.6. And the point of order is just to see if there was an overstretch in the Standing Orders. This doesn't fall under the remit of any committee. We are simply writing a letter to the Irish Government on something that they and they only can enact. It has always been the position of this Council that motions where we write to outside bodies that are not directly under our remit do not go to committee. Now, I think this is getting conflated. This is getting conflated with the last Irish. I think this is getting conflated with the last New Ireland motion, which was us directly setting up a working group, which was our remit. So we cannot have motions coming here that on the 16.1.6 get sent to Equality and Good Relations, which is sending a letter to Dublin, and the next motion we're allowed to send a letter to America. We've got to have clarity on this. If it's not under our remit, which it certainly is, and we can't do any of this, we should be hearing motions like this. So I do believe it's a breach of standing order. Chair, just for clarity, for complete clarity on this, the motion where we were setting up our own working group, which was completely our remit, was danced about Equality and Good Relations, I think up to 18 months, because it needs unanimous agreement in order to come back with a recommended paper. we can't have, ask officers to write papers on what the Irish government's going to do. So what is it actually going back to that forum for? If it's going back to that forum to get unanimous support to write a letter to Dublin, that is an overstretch. This council is allowed to write letters to any outside bodies, so it should be heard.
Thank you, Councillor Byrne. Councillor Taylor, are you in for a response, Councillor Burns?
Yep, Chair. I just don't know why the concerns are being outlined by Councillor Burns. I think with a motion like this, we're actually potentially taking a position on their constitutional position of North Ireland. So, to me, that would certainly have an impact on equality and good relations in this community. So, as such, I think an issue like that does deserve that scrutiny, rather than it's just been brought to a pure numbers game here this evening in the chamber. So, and I am concerned about, you know, there's plenty of things I get questioned about being brought to committee and being heard at chamber at times. But I respect your position as chair. It may not be every time I agree with it, but whoever's in the chair at the time. But I just would be concerned that on a motion like this, we are taking a policy position in terms of the constitutional position of Northern Ireland. I think it deserves that due scrutiny. And whilst there won't be an agreement, I agree with you in that respect, Councillor Byrne, as a unionist, I'm... what's that, sorry? It may do, but if it still deserves scrutiny. And as we'll see about taking any decision in this council that requires scrutiny, so be it, no matter what length of time it takes. And there may be, you know, situations where we won't find that agreement, and we have had examples of that even in more recent times through things that have went through the Equality and Good Relations Committee. But as I say, I would be concerned if this motion was brought and heard tonight, given that it is taking a policy viewpoint on the constitutional position, and I think it deserves that referral to the Equality and Good Relations Committee to have a proper scrutiny before any recommendations are brought forward at council level here.
That's a important response to your comments. Two lines of the motion read, this council further commits to ensuring that the voices of people across Newry, Mourne and Down are heard as part of this important conversation about the future of Ireland. Mm-hmm. That's why it's being referred to the Beautifications Committee.
Chair, for clarity, just one on the record, are we stating that our future input on something should the Irish government enact this is why we're going to send it to a chamber not to be discussed? And for absolute clarity on standing orders, I want to make it clear that voting rights in the presidential election in the north was heard in this chamber, which had far-reaching effects across this district. So we've got to have consistency here. And if we're knocking a discussion on a new Ireland into the long grass and equality and good relations, as Councillor Taylor has said, and we sit there for 18 months, let's be clear and tell the people that we're doing that. But there is no reason why we can't send a letter to Dublin, but yet we can send a letter to America. So I'm saying it's an overstretch. And if we're saying that the overstretch is because we may have input, if the Irish government writes back to us, then I don't think that's acceptable.
Noted, Councillor Byrne, but it's a decision that I made as Chair of Council.
Chair, I didn't use the term putting anything in the long grass. I used the term scrutiny. And as you say, Chair, the Council commits to ensuring that the voices of all the people of Newry, well, the people of Newry and Mourne, I'm one of those people. Who are these other five unionist representatives in the past?
We're veering into discussion here.
It's part of the discussion, though. It's not veering off any discussion, Chair. It's a constitutional issue, and it should be given the scrutiny that it deserves. So I just want to make that clear.
Okay. Moving on. Item number 16, notice of motion, murder of Charlie Kirk. Following notice of motion being received by Councillor Lewis. Councillor Lewis, would you like to speak to your motion?
Thank you. Chair, this council notes with deep concern the murder of Charlie Kirk, a prominent American political commentator who was shot and killed while exercising his right to speak at a public event. Believes that the freedom of speech and expression are hard-won cornerstones of democracy, remembers those who have been targeted by terrorists in Northern Ireland due to their political and religious beliefs, resolves to condemn the murder of Charlie Kirk, and reaffirm our commitment to the principle of free speech. And further, the Newry, Mourne and Down District Council sends our condolences to his wife Erica and their two young children. Chair, thank you for allowing this motion to be heard here tonight. In recent weeks, we all witnessed the shocking murder of Charlie Kirk, a
prominent American political commentator gunned down while simply exercising his right to speak at a public event. Regardless of anyone's political stance or personal opinions about him, what happened is an attack not only on one man, but on the principle that is the fundamental freedom to every society, the right to speak and to question and to disagree peacefully without fear or intimidation. Freedom of speech is a hard-won part of democracy. It's the foundation upon which every other freedom that we enjoy is rest. Once we begin to accept that intimidation and violence is an answer to speech, or that some people's voices can't be heard or should be silenced through intimidation, we open the door to that type of threats. We here in Northern Ireland know only too well the terrible cost when political or religious differences become an excuse to take someone's life. We all remember when politicians, some members of Parliament, members of the Assembly, and indeed some councillors were targeted specifically because of their elected role. This council, therefore, has a duty not just to express sympathy, but to take a clear moral stand, to say that we utterly condemn the murder of Charlie Kirk, to say that no person should fear for their life because they express an opinion. And it's just to note that Charlie Kirk was a well-watched influencer from across the world. I was taken aback by the many young people from my own constituency who had watched his videos on TikTok or on Facebook, and the mass impact that act of violence had in such a public way really brought a shock to people. And finally, on behalf of this council, that we send the heartfelt condolences to Charlie's wife and to their two young children who has lost a husband and a father in the most tragic of circumstances, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Lewis, and he will be seconding your motion. Thank you, Councillor Lewis.
Thank you. I'd like to thank Councillor Lewis for bringing this motion tonight, reaffirm our belief in free speech and non-violence, to recognise one of the finest young voices of conservative Christian values. Charlie Kirk debated his opponents with intelligence and respect, taught a generation of young people to think for themselves, to once again value the contribution of Judeo-Christian ethics to Western civilization and democracy. Above all, he was a man of faith. He wanted people to know, regardless of their politics, that the greatest truth is Jesus himself. Charlie was murdered for speaking that truth, just as thousands of Christians around the world are each year. But as Charlie Kirk said himself, all death can do to the believer is deliver him to Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Boisey. Councillor Mathers.
Thanks, Chair. And Sinn Féin would like to propose an amendment to the motion. So after the word democracy, we would like to amend as follows. Notes with grave concern recent politically motivated violence and attacks on free speech. Acknowledges that free speech and expression within the law are foundational to any democratic system, celebrates the diversity of our identities, religious or none, sexual orientation, gender, disability, age or ethnic origin, that Newry, Mourne, Down and District Council send our condolences to his wife and to young children.
Councillor Mathers. seconder for that? Others? Councillor Murphy? Yes.
Chair.
Mr. Lewis, are you willing to accept?
Chair, I would respectfully decline to accept that, as I feel that the motion is relevant and already makes that point without making any amendments to it. But I would thank Councillor Mathers.
Okay, so the amendment is not accepted, so we'll have to go to a vote.
And from you, maybe send the burden of that amendment because you send it.
Okay, so we will vote on the.
That's just been sent. That amendment's just been sent by email, sir, yeah? By email to all councillors.
Can I just be clear? Are we voting on the amendment or the motion?
Just on the amendment.
Okay. Even though Councillor Lewis has rejected the amendment?
Yes, so we still vote. Okay. Is everybody ready to vote? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
What a vote.
A recorded vote.
Yeah.
Mr. Lewis,
yes,
is that your motion? You want to record a vote?
Yes, please. Thank you.
And
a comment?
Not as yet until the vote's passed.
Not discuss the amendment?
I'll indulge it.
Then Sinn Féin just clarify, they want the sentence, remembers those who have been targeted by terrorists in Northern Ireland due to their political and religious beliefs. You're seriously wanting that to be removed from the amendment and you disagree with the sentiments of that sentence? Like, are we for real in 2025?
Some others.
Yeah, so as I said at the amendment, we're proposing that from after the word democracy that paragraph is removed in the amendment.
bit forward.
Thank you, Councillor Mathers.
Okay. Councillor Andrews is absent. Councillor Bowsey?
Against the amendment.
Councillor Brennan? Councillor Byrne?
For.
Councillor Campbell?
For.
Councillor Clark?
For.
Councillor Devlin? Councillor Enright is absent. Councillor Fehan?
For.
Councillor Finn?
For.
Councillor Gobray? Councillor Gibbons is absent. Councillor Hanlon? Councillor Hanna?
Yeah.
Councillor Hart? Councillor Hardy? Councillor Howell?
For.
Councillor Kelly? Sorry, Howie?
For.
Councillor Jackson?
Against.
Councillor Kearns? Councillor Orlicking?
For.
Councillor Cavalking? Councillor Larkin?
For.
Councillor Lee Surgener?
For.
Councillor Lewis? Councillor McGuinness?
For.
Councillor Mathers?
For.
Councillor McAteer? Councillor McAvoy's absent. Councillor Declan Murphy?
For.
Councillor Kate Murphy?
For.
Selena Murphy?
For.
Councillor O'Hara is absent. Councillor Quinn? Councillor Riley?
Against.
Councillor Rice? Part of the chamber. Councillor Rowan? Councillor Taylor?
Against.
Councillor Tinley is absent. Councillor Truesdale?
For.
Councillor Young? I have 28 for, 6 against, and no abstentions.
The amendment stands. Councillor Lewis?
Chair, in that respect, I then withdraw this motion. I think that it's very disappointing that all parties in this chamber sought to remove the phrase targeted by terrorists, and the motion was simple. It was worded in a respectful way. It didn't require people to play politics with it. So on that basis, I'm not willing to partake in this anymore and would like to withdraw that motion, please.
Thank you, Councillor. This is your prerogative. Councillor Taylor?
Yeah, Chair. Well, I suppose like everybody we had...
Sorry. So the motion stands.
Chair, as the motion has been amended, then it is now an agreed, so it is now a substantive motion that is on the floor for debate, which is the substantive motion.
No, Madam Chairman, Centre of a notice of motion can withdraw that at any time. He said he's withdrawn it. They're saying that it, so it's over. Even recognising some of the older 15 councillors.
Chair, it's a substantive motion. It's understanding orders. The substantive motion is on the floor for debate now. So, whilst you can withdraw your original notice of motion, there is actually a proposed and agreed substantive notice of motion.
I don't accept that. You would need to get legal advice on that, Chairman.
Councillor Taylor.
Yeah, Chair. I'll speak on the substantive motion then. I'd obviously prepared to speak on the motion of Councillor Lewis had brought forward, and I welcome that. He was going to highlight that issue this evening. And I am disappointed that there has been an attempt here, obviously, to dilute what was presented to us to try and eradicate what happened here during the Troubles, because I'm very conscious as a member of the Welsh Unionist Party, certainly, that we lost numerous members during the Troubles, including elected representatives and ordinary party members who were targeted by Republican terrorists, purely because of their political desire for Northern Ireland to remain part of the United Kingdom. And the motion that was presented was very relevant to that, as well as obviously expressing our condolences to the family of Charlie Kirk after the wicked act that was inflicted upon him in America. And I was also wanting to condemn the incident where a device was left at the office of Liz Kimmins and Dara Hughes. I think we're all very clear that no elected representative should face any threat or prospect of violence landing at their door. And I also want to thank the security forces and the ATO for the work that they undertook to secure and make the area safe last night in that regard. But it is a disappointment that we have had this diluted, and it has been an attempt to remove any referral about what happened here during the Troubles. I certainly know in my day job I work with people who were affected by the Troubles day and daily. and I see the very real trauma that exists as a result of that. And to see that reference removed here is a complete insult, in my opinion. I think, you know, as elected representatives, you know, we should serve as a cornerstone of the defence of free speech, as would have been outlined in the original motion. And I was hoping, even within this chamber, despite the considerable differences that we have on political opinions at times, that we could always do that in a respectful and civilised manner. But with the amendment to the motion, that certainly hasn't happened, and I am concerned about that. But I certainly don't support, and have outlined my opposition to the amended proposal as it stands.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor. I'm currently taking advice from Democratic Services, so I'm going to propose an adjournment. Can I have a seconder? 5 minutes. Second, Councillor Taylor, thank you. Okay. Everybody take their seats, please, and we'll restart the meeting.
Okay, Chair. So under our standing orders, where there has been an amendment and the amendment has been accepted, that is the substantive motion and the motion that's on the floor for debate. However, I think it would be fair to say that at the agreement of the Chamber, the motion could be withdrawn. So I suppose it's to the Chair to ask if that is the position.
Okay, is everybody within the Chamber in agreement that the motion is withdrawn?
Okay.
Pass. Thank you. Moving on to item 17 on the agenda, and this motion Climate Act 2022. Understanding Order 16.1.6, it will be heard in committee. Councillor Riley, can you tell who's going to second your motion?
Assembly. Sorry. This council requests the Northern Ireland Assembly to repeal the Northern Ireland Climate Change Act 2022 and replace it with workable legislation.
Professor Hannah. Thank you, Councillor Reddy. Now on to the emergency notice of motion received from Councillor Hardy. We require a qualified majority of 80% of the vote.
Sir, it's a qualified majority of 80% of those present and voting. Sarah will do the calculation. Do the call.
Councillor Andrews is absent. Councillor Bowsey?
Against.
Councillor Brennan? Councillor Broome?
For.
Councillor Campbell?
For.
Councillor Clark?
For.
Councillor Devlin? For. Councillor Enright is absent. Councillor Fain? Councillor Finn? Councillor Galbraith? Councillor Gibbons is absent. Councillor Hanlon? Councillor Hanlon? Councillor Hannah?
Against.
Councillor Hart? Councillor Hardy? Councillor Howell?
Four.
Councillor Howe?
Four.
Councillor Jackson?
Yes.
Councillor Kearns? Councillor Orlicking? Councillor Cahill King? Councillor Larkin?
Four.
Councillor Lee Surgener?
Four.
Councillor Lewis?
Yes.
Councillor McGuinness? Councillor Mathers?
Four.
Councillor McAteer? Four. Councillor McAvoy's absent. Councillor Declan Murphy?
Four.
Councillor Kate Murphy?
Four.
Councillor Selena Murphy?
Four.
Councillor O'Hara is absent. Councillor Quinn? Councillor Riley?
Against.
Councillor Rice is absent. Councillor Rowan? Councillor Taylor?
Against.
Councillor Tinley is absent. Councillor Treesdale?
Four.
Councillor Young? I have 28 for and 6 against. And the qualified majority is 27.2.
It will be heard. Mr. Hardy, would you like to speak your motion and tell us you second it, please?
All right, with care. Look, that this council condemns in the strongest possible terms the illegal Israeli interception and boarding of boats in the Freedom Flotilla and the abduction of those on board, including up to 22 Irish citizens, calls for the immediate release of all those abducted by Israel, urges the Irish and British governments to begin legal proceedings against Israel for this latest breach of international law, demands an end to the genocide in Palestine and an end to the Israeli blockade of humanitarian aid, and expresses solidarity and support with all those aboard the flotilla, as well as the besieged people of Gaza. Thank you very much. So can I first take a moment to just marvel at the hypocrisy of a number of councillors who just moments ago were waxing lyrical about the virtues of open debate and free speech and who tried to shut down this motion. On Wednesday evening, the Israeli military began hijacking boats that were part of the global Samud flotilla, bringing desperately needed humanitarian aid to the people of Gaza. The cargo they had on board consisted of food, water, medical supplies and other humanitarian equipment, and a large consignment of baby formula. The baby formula was of particular need due to Israel's enforced starvation of Gaza, which has gotten so bad that mothers simply cannot produce milk for their infants. Over the following hours, the roughly 500 people on board those boats from more than 40 countries were abducted by Israel, and it has since emerged that they've been subjected to grotesque ill-treatment and what a number of journalists who are witnesses to the actions have described as torture. It's understood around 22 participants of the flotilla are from Ireland, including my own party colleague, Shannadore Chris Andrews,
who I understand has, we've just gotten word, has been released, and I wish him a safe trip home. There are, of course, still hundreds of hostages being held by Israel. And I want to send my solidarity to Chris and to all those who took part in the flotilla. Their actions were incredibly brave, especially knowing Israel's predilection for violently attacking unarmed humanitarian boats, such as when they murdered 10 people aboard the MV Mavi Marmara in 2010, following which a United Nations Human Rights Council report found that the killing of at least 6 of the passengers was in a manner consistent with an extra-legal, arbitrary and summary execution. It's quite clear that anyone with a moral compass would be outraged by the actions of the Israeli occupation, but sadly I suspect that some in this council will attempt to hide their shame behind bureaucracy and attempt to take issue with the wording of this motion. So allow me to preempt some of these complaints by offering some clear explanations to the terms it uses. Both the Israeli blockade of Gaza and the interception of the humanitarian flotilla are illegal actions. The United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights, the International Committee of the Red Cross, Amnesty International, the International Committee of National Lawyers Guild, the Law Department of Istanbul University, the Hastings College of Law, and a slew of international and legal experts, including several from Israel itself, have all declared the blockade illegal. Interfering with the flotilla under Article 55 of the Fourth Geneva Convention, which requires that an occupying power allow the passage of all aid, foodstuffs and water during a humanitarian crisis, is illegal. The flotilla was hijacked in international waters, flying under numerous international flags. Israeli troops have no jurisdiction there. Their very presence aboard those boats was a crime, and in fact is the literal definition of piracy. They therefore had no legal right to take control of them. The crew of these ships were not arrested, they were not detained, as some have described. These are legal terms with a defined procedure within a criminal justice system. These people were abducted. They were kidnapped, taken away by force, without their consent and without lawful excuse. And then, of course, there is the genocide in Palestine. The ICJ, in its preliminary ruling on Israel's breaching of the Genocide Convention, found the charge of genocide to be plausible. Reports by the University Network for Human Rights, Boston University School of Law, Cornell Law School, University of Pretoria, Amnesty International, the Red Cross and Human Rights Watch have all declared Israel is committing genocide. Numerous genocide experts around the world, including Israeli experts on the Nazi Holocaust, such as Raz Segal and Shira Klein, have declared slaughter in Gaza to be genocide. Little over a month ago, the International Association of Genocide Scholars passed a resolution saying that Israel has committed genocide in Gaza, and in just the past few weeks, the UN Independent International Commission of Inquiry stated plainly and unequivocally, Israel has committed genocide against Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. Herlock, there can be no question over the wording of the motion. The facts speak for themselves. The only question members of this council now have for themselves is a moral one. Are they, through their vote, prepared to sanction hijacking, piracy, abduction, kidnapping and genocide? Stop the genocide. Free the flotilla hostages. Seir Shatun Palestine.
Thank you, Councillor Harding. Councillor Harding, seconding your motion? Mr. King? Mr. King, do you wish to speak to the motion?
Not quite well. Thank you.
Councillor Devlin, I believe you were.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you to Councillor Hardy for tabling this motion this evening. It speaks to a deeply distressing situation, not just the unlawful interception of a humanitarian mission, but the continued suffering of innocent people in Gaza. At the heart of this issue are ordinary men, women and children who deserve safety, dignity and hope. The people aboard the Freedom Flotilla, including Irish citizens, were acting out of a simple humanitarian impulse to help those who have endured unimaginable hardship. What activity could be more noble? Their courage and their compassion deserve our solidarity and our respect. This is a profoundly sensitive time for building a lasting peace in Gaza. Every life lost, every act of aggression or hostile word pulls us further from the peace. It's vital that all of us, regardless of political background or affiliation, unite around the basic principles of humanity, justice and peace. True peace will not come from violence or from vengeance, but from a shared commitment to life, to dignity and to the equal worth of every single human being. Chair, I'd like to close this evening with the following words from the Palestinian writer and activist John Zarou. which I think really go to the heart of this matter and why it's incumbent upon all of us to build a lasting peace in Palestine. There is so much that is gathered into the word peace. Peace is costly and must not be misunderstood to mean a patchwork solution to the conflicts of the world. Peace is not submission, nor the silent acceptance of what goes on around us. Peace is not only the absence of war, but is the absence of dire poverty and hunger. Peace is freedom from sickness and disease, it is employment and health. Peace is based on a deep sense of human equality and basic justice. Peace is when we have no fear to assemble, to worship, to work, to speak and publish the truth, even to the powerful. Peace is well-being for all, equality and respect for human rights. Peace is when everybody feels at home and is accepted without barriers based on age, class, sex, race, religion or nationality. Peace is that fragile harmony that carries with it the experience of a struggle, the endurance of suffering and the strength of love. Peace is hope for our future and the future of all God's children and all God's world. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Devlin. Councillor Hannah.
Chair, our comments on this freedom for flotilla is peculiar. See the interception of these boats as an abduction. When a burglar breaks into our homes, we don't offer them a cup of tea. Instead, we would expect them to be detained by the authorities. Why should this be any different for those who sail into Israeli sovereign territory for a publicity stunt? Those on board... Chair, could you please tell me? I don't want to have to say shut up again, so I don't... But
Mr. Hannah?
I never interrupted him.
I've addressed the issue.
Yep. Those on board these ships embarked on a virtual signalling trip with no plan or real effort to see peace in this region. However, the DUP deplores the loss and suffering of all innocent life in the current conflict in Gaza. It's imperative that there is swift action and lasting solution to this hugely concerning situation. As a party, we want to see a stark increase in the amount of aid reaching Gaza. Any ceasefire or peace, including what is preceded or on the proposals put forward by the United States, must of course recognise the right of Israel to exist. This motion fails to acknowledge that Hamas is a prescribed terrorist organisation that deserves to be treated as such. The DUP stands firmly behind Israel's right to defend itself against this terror. We do not, as this motion does, airbrush the memory of those who were murdered on the 7th of October 2023 out of existence. Hamas continues to ruthlessly hold hostages, starving them to death with a call in this motion for their release. There is no call in this motion for their release. We have seen in recent days the impact of rampant anti-Semitic stirred up by those on the left in response to events in Gaza. This council sadly runs the risk of feeding into that by passing motions that take no thought of the impact on our small Jewish communities, or indeed to the fact that there are more than one perspective to the events unfolding in the Middle East. My comments, sir.
Thank you, Councillor Hannah. Councillor Taylor. Mr. Hannah, can you...
No, sir.
Yep, thank you. Chair, listen, I suppose in terms of the motion that's been brought before us here, the flotilla was never going to reach Gaza, and those involved know that that was the case, and it was a political stunt, and it can't be described as anything else than that. And in fact, those that were involved are actually now in Greece and Slovakia. The Israeli transferred them today to those two countries, so they've not been held captive. They're actually in other countries at this stage. I suppose what I would say about the issue, and we have discussed this issue on frequent occasions, I suppose, within this chamber in the last couple of years, there is a peace plan that has been developed, you know, by President Trump, and there may be, I know there's many in this chamber don't have any time or don't like President Trump, but the clear fact is that he has a peace plan developed, and there has been widespread support for that in the Middle East region, and indeed across governments across the world, and it's clear that if there is any chance of a long-term lasting peace in that region, that organisations like Hamas must disappear forever. And that's not only to guarantee the safety of the Israeli people, but also to ensure that the Palestinian people have their own hope of future prosperity also, because Hamas do as much damage to them as they do to anybody.
And it's clear that there aren't any easy paths to the Middle East process. And I think many years there's tried to be attempts to bring in peace, but sadly they've failed. But we have a chance at this stage with this plan, and the concept of it needs to be accepted and moving forward with that. And I think for anybody to reject that, it could be catastrophic for the region. So I hope that sense prevails in that regard, and the process and the plan that is in place can move forward in a positive way, and we can see peace in that region, and people both on the Israeli side and Palestinian side can feel that they don't have to worry about anything happening to them in the future. But we really need to see some movement on that, and Hamas in particular, in terms of their obviously the kidnapping of the hostages and the fact that so many of them have passed away, unfortunately, and only maybe one or two actually are alive at this stage. But those families in Israel deserve, you know, they have their loved ones home as well. So I certainly hope that we can see that plan that's in place moving forward without any further delay, and that we can see genuine attempts to bring peace to the region going forward.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor High.
Thank you, Chair. I'm a bit disappointed just with Councillor Taylor's remark there and saying that Fratello was a political stunt. I think it was an action by people to bring humanitarian aid that has been blocked from Israel. I just think it actually, this last week I was walking the Camino, and yesterday I was in North Spain, and there was a massive protest for Palestine, and it actually just made me very emotional, just the thousands of people that turned out, because Israel's actions must be condemned, and I do condemn them, but I'm disappointed that this is still being politicised in this chamber and across, and we'll be supporting the motion anyway. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor High. Mr. Riley.
Yes, Chairman. Chairman, what's happening in Gaza is terrible. There's no question or doubt about that. That would bring tears to a stone. And the Israeli army, I think, could have behaved differently after the terrible events that Hamas persecuted on the Israeli people up in that area. It was really terrible. And I just want to see peace break out there, and I welcome what President Trump is doing. I would like to put an amendment to the motion that this council, by understanding the concerns raised by Councillor Hardy, recognises the state of Israel and its right to exist. And, Chairman, there's also the fact that just up the road from Gaza, Christians are being massacred in huge numbers. And take a whole look at across the whole of North Africa, that used to be predominantly Christian, is now Islamic, and Christians find it very, very hard to exist in those countries. Armenia, all across the world, Pakistan, China, Christians are being slaughtered, literally slaughtered, and yet we don't hear a word about it from any political representatives about those poor people. And why is there such a high degree of emphasis on Gaza whenever there's worse happening a few miles up the road in Syria against the Christian community? The Chairman, I'm making a formal amendment that this council recognises the state of Israel and its right to exist. Thank you.
Seconder for that amendment. Anna. Councillor Hardy, are you willing to accept the amendment to
your motion? Absolutely not.
And we will go to a vote. Show of hands. For the vote. Best of Councillor Hardy.
Councillor Andrews is absent. Councillor Bowsey?
Four.
Councillor Brennan? Councillor Byrne?
Abstain.
Councillor Campbell?
Against.
Councillor Clark?
Against.
Councillor Devlin? Councillor Enright is absent. Councillor Fagan? Councillor Finn?
Abstain.
Councillor Galbraith? Abstain. Councillor Gibbons is absent. Councillor Hanlon? Councillor Hannah?
Four.
Councillor Hart? Councillor Hardy? Councillor Howell?
Against.
Councillor Howe?
Abstain.
Councillor Jackson?
Four.
Councillor Kearns? Councillor Orla King? Councillor Cahill King? Councillor Larkin?
Yes.
Councillor Lee Searchner?
Abstain.
Councillor Lewis? Councillor McGuinness? Councillor Mathers? Councillor McAteer? Councillor McAvoy is absent. Councillor Declan Murphy? Councillor Kate Murphy? Councillor Kate Murphy? I think you're on mute, Kate. Councillor Kate Murphy?
Sorry, four.
Councillor Selena Murphy?
Against.
Councillor O'Hare, absent. Councillor Quinn? Councillor Riley?
Four.
Councillor Rice? It's online, I think. One again. Councillor Rice is absent. Councillor Wan? Councillor Taylor?
Four.
Councillor Tinley is absent. Councillor Truesdale?
Abstain.
Councillor Young? 7-4, 16 against, and 11 abstentions.
Okay, so the amendment fell. Councillor not agreeing on the notice of motion. So, vote on the notice of motion as it stands. Oh, show of hands.
No. So it was 28-4, 6 against, and no abstention.
Okay, so the motion is passed. Councillor Hardy, would you like to sum up?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks to everyone who voted for it.
Silence. Order.
Correct some of the inaccuracies. The votes were not intercepted in Israeli waters. They were in international waters. But even if they had gotten past the blockade, Gaza is recognized as an occupied territory that would still not be Israeli waters, they're Palestinian waters. I don't know why anyone was mentioning Hamas. Hamas is not aboard the flotilla. I don't know why anyone was mentioning anti-Semitism. There were several Jewish members aboard the flotilla who actually celebrated Yom Kippur aboard the flotilla. And the hostages have not been released. There are 130 still being held by Israel. But Gramil Mayagov to everyone for supporting the motion.
It's the end of the meeting. Stay at home, everyone.